Okay, io can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to develop until the stability of heedfulness required so that throughout the day you are mindful most of the time. Only. Okay, for dinner, I think there is no change. I only swap the dinner with evening chanting. Okay. So make a note. 5:30 to 6 o'clock. Supposed to have dinner, but we have to swap with 6:30 to 7 o'clock. So the evening chanting, we will have it earlier. Means after our this 4 to 5:30 Q&A, followed by review of meditation reporting to develop the proper understanding of the cultivation, the Dhamma, and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And ask me any question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and real life application of the Dhamma. Okay. So now we'll open up. If you have any meditation experience to report, you can put up your hand. And also, whatever question you may have, you can also make full use of this period or this slot to ask me. Anybody? Still so shy. Okay, never mind. If there is a case, we continue your sharing. Benny, tell me. Page 30, tell me.
Page 30, Fifth Heart Sutra Class 1.1, Introducing Master Xuanhua, 45th Patriarch of Sakyamuni Buddha Lineage. In 1948, after 3,000 miles of travel, Master Xuanhua reached Nanhua Monastery near Canton and received the wonderful mind-to-mind transmission of all Buddha from the Venerable Master Xu Yun and became the 45th Patriarch in the line of succession from Sakyamuni Buddha. Master Xu Yun is also the teacher of Master Bo Yuan, the late abbot of this Mahayana Vihara, Wubin Jinse. 1.2, Introducing the late Venerable Master Xu Yun, 44th Patriarch in the line of succession from Sakyamuni Buddha. Xu Yun was born on 26 April 1840 in Fujian, China, and passed away in 1959 at the age of 120. He is one of the most influential Chan masters of the past 2 centuries and arguably the most important in modern Chinese history. Unlike Catholicism and other branches of Christianity, there was no organization in China that embraced all monastic in China, not even all monastic within the same sect. Traditionally, each monastery was autonomous, with authority resting on each respective abbot. This changed with the rule of the Communist Party. In 1953, the Chinese Buddhist Association was established at a meeting with 121 delegates in Beijing. The meeting also elected a chairman, 4 honorary chairmen, 7 vice chairmen, a secretary general, 3 deputy secretaries general, 18 members of a standing committee, and 93 directors. The 4 elected honorary chairmen were the Dalai Lama, the Panchen Lama, and the Grand Lama of Inner Mongolia and Xu Yun himself. Chu Chan is less well known in the West compared to Japanese Zen. The teaching of Xu Yun has persisted within Asia, and he is still a major figure of Pure Land Buddhism in East Asia. Outside of China, the influence of his teaching is strongest in Southeast Asia, particularly in Vietnam and Burma and Myanmar, as well as in Americas, where his teaching was transmitted to well-known monastic students such as Venerable Xuan Hua and Venerable Ji Din Shakya and Venerable Fo Yuan Shakya. 1. Middle Age and Enlightenment. At the age of 43, Xu Yun had by then left the home life for more than 20 years, but he had not yet completed his practice in the path. He had not repaid his parents' kindness, and so he vowed to again make a pilgrimage to Nanhai, from Fa Hua Temple all the way to Chi Ying Liang Peak at Mount Wutai, or Five Peak Mountain of the Northwest, the Bodhi Mandala of Manjushri. He made one full prostration every 3 steps. He prayed for the rebirth of his parents in the Pure Land. Along the way, Xu Yun is said to have met a beggar called Wen Si, who twice saved his life. After talking with the monks at the Five Peak Mountain, Xu Yun came to believe that the beggar had been a manifestation of Manjushri. Having achieved singleness of mind, Xu Yun traveled west and south, making his way through Tibet. He visited many monasteries and holy places, including the Potala, the seat of the Dalai Lama, and Tashilhunpo Monastery, the seat of the Panchen Lama. He traveled through India and Ceylon, and then across the sea to Burma. During this time of wandering, Xu Yun felt his mind clearing and his health growing stronger. Xu Yun composed a large number of poems during this period. After returning to China, during Xu Yun's 53rd year, he joined other venerable masters Pu Zhao, Yue Xia, and Xing Lian, Lotus Seal, to cultivate together. They climbed Jiuhua Mountain to repair the huts on Chui Feng Summit, where Dharma Master Pu Zhao expounded the Mahavaipulya Buddha Avatamsaka, Flower Adornment Sutra. When Xu Yun was 56, the abbot Yue Lang of Gao Ming Temple in Yangzhou planned to convene a continuous 12-week session of Dhyana meditation. Preparing to leave, the group asked Xu Yun to go first. After reaching Digang, he had to cross the water but had no money. The ferry left without him. As he walked along the river edge, he suddenly lost his balance and fell into the rushing water, where he bobbed helplessly for a day and night and was caught in a fisherman's net. He was carried to a nearby temple where he was revived and treated for his injury. Feeling ill, he nevertheless returned to Yangzhou. When asked by Gao Ming whether he would participate in the upcoming week of meditation, he politely declined without revealing his illness. The temple had rules that those who were invited had to attend or else face punishment. In the end, Gao Ming had Xu Yun beaten with a wooden ruler. He willingly accepted this punishment, although it worsened his condition. For the next several days, Xu Yun sat in continuous meditation. In his autobiography, he wrote, "In the purity of my singleness of mind, I forgot all about my body. 20 days later, my illness vanished completely. From that moment, with all my thoughts entirely wiped out, my practice took effect throughout the day and night. My steps were as swift as if I was flying in the air. One evening, after meditation, I opened my eyes and suddenly saw I was in brightness similar to broad daylight, in which I could see everything inside and outside the monastery. But he knew that this occurrence was only a mental state and that it was not at all rare. He did not become attached to this achievement, but continued his single-minded investigation of the topic. Who is mindful of the Buddha? Over and over again, he delved into this topic without interruption. During the 12th lunar month, on the third evening of the 8th week of the session, after 6 hours of sitting meditation, the attendant made his rounds, filling up the teacups. Shi Rin's hand was burned by spilling boiling water, and his cup fell to the floor. At the sound of the crash, the root of his doubt was instantly severed. He was joyous beyond words at having fulfilled his lifelong ambition. It was as if he had just awakened from a dream, and he observed how the condition of the past unraveled. 2. Shi Universe explanation says, a cup fell to the ground with a sound clearly heard. As space was pulverized, the mad mind pulverized, the mad mind came to a stop.
Okay, stop here. So this one, Shi Yun Lao He Sang, is a very interesting biography for our sharing. And how many of you haven't heard of him? Everybody heard of him. That's why I asked you the opposite. You all don't want to put up your hand. So now ask again. How many of you have not heard of him? Oh, so many heard of him. Only a few haven't. He is a very famous monk, 120 years old. And he got a very peculiar biography. It seems when he was young, he was from a wealthy family. But he was the only son, I think. So the father forced him to get married, but he wanted to become a monk. So finally he married two, I think. But the two also agree, marry in name only. Yeah, he wants to be a monk. You go and see the video. I think there is a show on how he actually, his biography, how he finally become the famous Shi Yun Lao He Sang. He is 120 years old. He lived very long. Although he realized his enlightenment quite late, 50 plus, but because he lived 120 years old, so he still, after his enlightenment, he lived for almost 60 over years. And he was very famous because he is responsible for the formation of what the Buddhist monastic in China is all about. He was the one that went all over China and repaired a lot of temples. Although it was not easy. He actually suffered a lot. From the story, you have already been told how he fell into the water. It was actually a river. Then he bloated for 2 days, one over day, I think, almost 2 days, one day and one night. Then the fishermen caught him. But luckily, he didn't die. So they brought him back, put him in the temple, and he recovered. Then he went on back to that monastery. They supposed to have a long meditation retreat, but because of his condition, he couldn't actually attend. So he asked for permission kindly not to attend. But the rule is, if you already invited, If you accept and decline again, you will be punished. That's why he got into big trouble. Yeah. But what is interesting is he meditate until he has a lot of psychic ability. Oh, middle of the night, when he opened his eyes like broad daylight, So this manifestation, as you all have heard, is called in the Theravada tradition, the 10 defilement of insight. And this 10 defilement of insight can trap cultivator. So if you think all this state, like the manifestation of light, is called obasa, you associate it with special meditative experience and you equate it to enlightenment, then you can be trapped in this type of experience. That's why they call it defilement of insight. It's actually a good progress, a state of mind that is wonderful after developing that type of meditation, which is mainly energy field type, where you develop very deep concentration, absorption and all those things. So what happened is, sometimes for Theravada tradition, more common type of seeing light illumination is the nimitta that you see. That one is quite common. Then sometimes it's like Xuyin experience. He can like walk very far, like can fly, feel very light. Then like throughout the day, mindful, aware. But the trouble with cultivation is, like he described, luckily he knew that these are not what they call something very rare that you should be able to equate it to enlightenment, because they all, under the Mahayana tradition, they have studied the 50 Dhyan Samadhi that is explained in the Surangama Sutta, Leng Yan Jing, Wu Si Ying Mo. According to Surangama Sutta, Leng Yan Jing, each and every aggregate of our mind can manifest 10 defilement, or what we call Mara. So this 50 Divyan Samadhi is a type of Samadhi, but it's not the one that bring about enlightenment. That's why we call it Divyan. But they are very, very powerful meditative experience that one can encounter or manifest and develop the like transformation. So despite all this, luckily he knew that is not the way, that is Divyan Samadhi, but he continued with his cultivation. Then what happened is he investigated who is mindful of the Buddha. This is based on a Kong An. You heard of Kong An or not? You never heard of Kong An? The Zen have a famous Kong An teaching where he give you the inquiry so that it can like point you towards the inquiry that can lead to enlightenment. So one of the famous one is Sei Zai Nian Fo, who is reciting the Buddha's name, or in this particular case is who is mindful of the Buddha. So he continued to inquire, you see. So when he continued to inquire, he doesn't know how to relax into it and silence everything and let the nature arise and let the understanding from the nature develop the transformation or insight so that he can awaken. So what he did is, he like keep on trying to inquire, like want to know. So that inquiry, if you done it that way, it will not lead to enlightenment, awakening. It's thought based. The thought want to know. The thought want to develop the understanding. What you should do is, when you receive the Kong'an, like contemplation, you just throw it up and inquire. Once you inquire, after that, you don't hold on to it or attach to it or cling on to it. Just like the second turning wisdom. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Then all the other related reality are suffering. So the inquiry will allow you to develop the second turning wisdom if you don't hold on to it. You just reflect. Why is birth suffering? So what must you reflect? Huh? What must you reflect? You must reflect and recollect on the birth process, isn't it? Mindfully recall the birth process. Then as you recall or recollect, then all of a sudden you will come to a point where you realize, oh, no wonder the Buddha said, birth is suffering. Especially if you have the experience of, not to say as a man, you cannot give birth, isn't it? So you cannot really understand the process. But you can witness it. Understand now? And you can, through life experience, learn about it and all things. Then as you recollect, actually not easy. Yeah. Maybe during the olden day easy. Huh? Like my mother delivered almost 9 or 10 of us. Like very easy. He wait until the last day when the bladder burst only, he call a taxi or cell and just go. They are very tough. And they know what to do. Wow, nowadays, I think the younger people will know. To give birth is not easy. And most of the modern housewives, I think, they are not as tough as during my mother's generation. So those who have gone through, like I witnessed, well, I'm the second in the family, I saw all those. Then I saw my brother, sister. Then later on, when I come out to work, then when I study the Dhamma, then I reflected on it. Then I realized birth is really suffering. There are a lot of things that can happen. Because we always assume that the ideal birth, of course, everybody look forward to what? The full moon day, yeah? To become parents, to become grandparents. You only look at the wholesome or smooth sailing aspect of birth, understand? But you have not really encountered a situation where there is complication during the birth process, before the birth process and during the birth process. Then if it's so bad until the ONG doctor or specialist came out and tell you, you have to make a decision. You want to save the child or the mother? That is the dilemma. Understand? That's why that is very traumatic and that can bring about suffering. Then the attachment, the grandparent, the parent have expectation of their first child, especially the olden day Chinese tradition. The first baby, if it's a boy, worth a lot more. So all this will manifest. But if the birth got complication, the in-law suffer. The parent also suffer. The grandparent and all those that have relationship with you also suffer. So when you recollect the birth process, then you see the reality of life and existence and how all this can bring about suffering through delusion. When you don't understand, you attach you cling. And that one will give you wisdom. So likewise, when you contemplate who is reciting the Buddha's name or mindful of the Buddha, Sei Zai Nian Fo, you don't go and hold on to the thought and keep on wanting to know, understand not? You reflect. Then you inquire inside, understand not? Within. Who is that I that is chanting? Is there a being that gives rise to the chanting? Is that like your thought? Yeah? The thought. Is there a thinker behind the thought? I ask you. Yeah? How many of you say yes? Huh? Nobody. You have to ask the opposite. How many of you say no? So those who say no, I want you to explain. Why? There is no thinker behind the thought. Not logical, is it? Society always talk about logic, isn't it? Huh? They say, there must be a thinker behind the thought, isn't it? Otherwise, how can you think? How can you manifest thought? You mean the mano? Huh? There is a thinker behind that create that thought. The physics experiment already explained to you, isn't it? Everything is based on nature's condition, isn't it? When the conditions are all in proper order, you on the switch, the light bulb light up, understand? It's natural. So do you think you need to have a thinker to create thought? You think there is a God behind your thinking? That's why find out, investigate. This is meditation. Use your pure awareness to find out. Then you realize, even through simple logic, you know. The baby, newborn baby, no thought, understand? Why? They cannot create thought. Because there is no brain with the memory, understand? With the knowledge, with the conditioning. So if you understand this, then you realize thought arises through memory. Thought is respond to memory. Then through your awareness, you realize if it's something not in your knowledge, not in your memory, you cannot label it. You cannot give it a name. You cannot create a thought out of it. Understand? Then when you silence your mind with the inner awareness, then you realize all of your thoughts, they are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. That's why I saw it. So what happened is, yesterday I teach you the dwelling, Paticca Samuppada. The first link is what? Avijja, Paccaya, Sankara. What is Avijja? Ignorant, very good. What is Sankara? You can use all the words. Everything that your mind can do. Understand? So, dependent on ignorance, you go and think, understand not? Because that is the only faculty you have. So you believe by thinking you can understand. That's why one thing to know, one thing to understand and experience, you think. And what is thinking? Going to your brain, your memory there, understand not? And make contact, understand not? So like the physics experiment, when you make contact, what happens? The light bulb lights up. What is that lighting up? You become conscious, isn't it? Mental consciousness, isn't it? That is the pure vijnana, understand not? That's why avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana. This is the pure vijnana. The pure consciousness. Then after that, what happened? Condition nama rupa, the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. So this is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. If you are mindful, aware, you can see this link very clearly. Then at the moment of this one, Vijnanang, the Buddha say, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. The egoic mind hasn't come in. No one to see. That is the direct seeing. You see things as they are, without the word, without the concept. You can be here. Fully aware. That's why most of the time you are at this pure awareness nature, you see things as they are. You will not immediately input the content of consciousness to your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and memory, and knowledge. To trigger off the perception, then the whole proliferation of thought process. So this one, from here to here, you realize from the pure awareness nature, once the brain input the content of consciousness, this one become a thought. Understand not? This one become a chitta. And this is how it arises. So thought, basically, thought, or the chitta, is basically the pure awareness with its content. So, if you know it's the pure awareness with its content, then thought is respond from memory. Just like without memory, like the newborn baby, you cannot create thought. So it's a response from that memory because we are a conscious being. Understand not? We are a living organism. We have consciousness inside. And you can input the content to trigger out the thought. That is a mundane mind. And this one you can see. That's why there is no thinker behind the thought. You can understand now. Respond to memory. So all of your mind state is dependent originating. That's how. Based on your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, you input that content and trigger off the thought. And this one has life. That's why it has coming. Understand not? The moral causation. They say the law of karma, you reap what you sow. Moral causation, all take over. Yeah. Then the Buddha say, dependent on this thought or namarupa, the five aggregate form of mind, the second aspect, there must be, what is the next link? Salayatana, sense-based. Without sense-based, it cannot trigger. Understand not? You need sense-based with the mind, contact, then the sense data, then it trigger off. That's why this one will condition what they call salayatana, which is your sense basis. Then salayatana pachya, contact, pasat. Then pasat pachya, vedana, which is feeling. Very good. Sorry, Then, pasa, pachya, vedana. So all these are natural process. Sense basis, condition, contact. Contact, condition, feeling. Feeling, condition what? Yeah, tangha. What is tangha? So this is where craving is. And craving, condition, upadana, yeah, grasping, yeah. Upa, PHA or PA? PA. Then upadana, condition what? Bhava is becoming. Then it condition jati, which is birth. Then arise the whole mass of suffering. Better put suffering. You put dukkha after people don't understand. So if you look at this dwelling, most people only study it like theoretical through Dhamma knowledge. So they try to get the English translation, then they try to make head or tail out of it, anasana. And most of them in the Theravada tradition cannot understand the real Paticca-samubbana. So what did they teach you? This one, they say, happened over 3 period of time, anasana. You know how they come up with that? Well, otherwise they cannot explain. But if you understand, you are a cultivator, this one happens every moment, every instant, anasana. That's why in the translation, or what we call the Visuddhimagga, the popularly accepted one, they explain it over the 3 period of time. Why? Because to them, the only way to explain this is ignorant condition, karmic volition. They call this Sankhara karmic volition. Because when there is ignorance at the moment of death, what happened? Your karmic volition will condition rebirth consciousness. Understand? That's why they say like that, very easy to explain. Then rebirth consciousness create the human being or the living being, the first aspect of the 5 aggregate of form and mind. Very logical, isn't it? Then they realize, this one past life, die already, rebirth consciousness, then another being. Then this being, with the sense basis, have this pasat, vedana, then craving, then becoming, then grasping, then becoming, then take birth again. Means you become like here, you take birth again, you become. But to me, sorry to use the word, this is nonsense, isn't it? If the Buddha teach me a paticca samuppada that I can only witness once in 3 lifetime, then I learn it for what? Exterior. Understand not? Because they fail to explain. They did not do the pure awareness-based meditation. That's why they can't. And so far in the Theravada tradition, I so far only read of one book, Ajahn Buddhadasa. He is my teacher's teacher, Ajahnyadra's teacher. He is the only monk who dared to say the Paticca Samuppada is not over the 3 period of time. He also believed in the instantaneous one, spontaneous one. But he didn't really explain it. But he believed that is it, and he teach it that way. Otherwise, it got no meaning. So what is happening is you don't know how to develop the inner awareness or mindfulness to witness all this link, then you cannot understand. The actual one is like what I explained to you. Every moment of consciousness before you become enlightened, you have avijja, isn't it? And because there is avijja, you don't understand. One thing to know, one thing to understand and experience, what do? You go to your memory to think, understand not? Like all your problems, you think, believing that by thinking, it can solve your problem. Of course, worldly problems, sometimes it can. But psychological, mental problem, you cannot, understand not? You become cuckoo, understand not? The more you think, you enter depression. The cocoon of thought give rise to depression. So what happened is, you make contact with the brain, this one trigger of mental consciousness. Then you input the content. This one got moral causation. That's why all the wrong thought, most of them are wrong thought. Seldom there is right thought, free of the evil. So when wrong thought went in, what happened? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, suffering, phobia, everything. The negative aspect of your consciousness. So this psychological memory move. And when it moves, the Buddha say, dependent on this, there must be sense basis, otherwise it cannot arise. And when the sense basis is there, the Buddha wants you to use your mindfulness to see that there is contact. The mind must make contact with the sense basis for it to trigger off the mental feeling, understand or not? Because consciousness, when they arise in the what they call Vedana Nupassana, or the second foundation of mindfulness under Vedana Nupassana, the teaching explains feeling there are three types. The first one is what? Pleasant feeling. Second one, the opposite, unpleasant feeling. Then the third one, neutral feeling. And this is what is taught. So a lot of Theravada tradition cultivator very gullible. Oh, mindfulness of feeling, yeah. Oh, I feel good, pleasant feeling. Ayo, I feel horrible, unpleasant feeling. Then if it's nothing to do with you, like your neighbor, buy a new car, the wife reverse, get accident. You come back and laugh and talk to your wife some more. Your neighbor very sweet. New car. You have neutral feeling, and you have joy some more. Nothing to do with you, understand? You are not yours, understand? You don't own it. You think that is Vedana Nupassana? No! The Buddha say when you aware that this is pleasant feeling means what? Means you have arisen the sensual desire, understand? That is what you're supposed to see. The mental hindrance arise already. Then how can you meditate? Someone go and note pleasant feeling, 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 feeling. For what? Without understanding. But when you understand, this one means the mental hindrance is there. It will hinder me from entering the meditative state. That's why when it comes to meditation, painful feeling, what do you do? Note pain, pain, pain. You heard of that before, right? And what are you doing? You are creating mental hindrance, is that? We have this aversion towards that sensation. Vedana Nupassana is not to do that. Vedana Nupassana is to wake you up that it has become mental hindrance. Understand now? Then what did a popularly accepted teacher teach you? No. Understand now? If you don't create, there is no mental hindrance, isn't it? Then why do you want to create? So how do you meditate to overcome pain or sensual desire? The five ways, the first four. The first two is thought-based, no use. The third one is aware, sati. Means don't go and labor, understand? Don't go and create mental hindrance. You just accept that sensation for what it is, understand or not? Nature's condition is like that. Condition like that, things will be like that, understand or not? If I don't know how to relax, I don't know how to sit, then it will trigger off the chi flow, then it will induce a type of sensation which is very, very uncomfortable, understand or not? And you call that pain. The moment you labor, it becomes a hindrance, understand or not? If you don't labor, what happens? You accept it for what it is, like seeing things as they are. Condition like that, things you accept. You relax into it and maintain awareness. Even sloth and topper also same. I already told a lot of Kayamita to try. Really, it was just root out the mental hindrance. Even when you are very sleepy, stay with it, with the awareness, the third way. Be aware of that mind state. Don't label it. Don't go, ayo, I come to meditate. Now I'm sleepy, I'm wasting my time. Forget about all this. When sloth and topper arise, do not resist, do not react, do not go against, allow your habitual tendency or views and opinion to create the mental hindrance. So you accept it as a friend. Means be with it, awareness and the thing. What happened is, When you don't labor and create mental hindrance, sati take over, understand not? And what is sati? Sati is a spiritual faculty, understand not? That's why it triggers a shift in consciousness. All of a sudden, I did it before. That love and topper completely gone. There is a light that flashed through the mind. Then suddenly, that sensation all gone. Then the mindfulness awareness was able to look down. Then the so-called pulling sensation or what, when you don't have the sati and the mindfulness, you will feel it like a negative sensation which you don't like. But when the thing flash off, you see things as they are. That so-called pulling sensation is without word. Then you realize when you know how to relax the chi flow, then that so-called painful sensation is gone. So when it comes to the other, just now I mentioned before this one, the sloth and topper is what? Sensual desire and ill will, isn't it? Let's say anger is a ill will, understand? A very strong craving, desire, understand? When you are aware that this mind state has arisen, if you don't labor, accept it for what it is, and silence your mind and stay with it, find out what happened. I can tell you. I did it when I was doing my training in the year 1989. I saw both the mind state of sensual desire, you will dissolve, like anger, hatred, emotion, very strong inside, because when certain things trigger off, you become emotional, then you aware. Then what I did is I silence my mind. I don't feed it with any more thought energy. I don't go and think anymore. I just silent, relax, maintain awareness. Then the very flowering of that emotion or that thought is the very ending of that thought. That's why sati will bring about understanding, the dissolution of all this dependent originating mind state. That is how you meditate, understand not? So you're supposed to develop the awareness that there will be contact with the sense basis, and during contact, the first thing to arise is Vedana. Under the what you call Abhidhamma, the seven universal, you remember? Contact is one of them. Feeling is one of them. Then from here, the feeling, when you stir your mind, react, there is craving, like and dislike. This one come out. And when the craving arise, not so bad. Then later on, your craving becomes so strong, it becomes grasping. It causes you to grasp and want the thing. Understand not? And when the grasping becomes very strong, you act out of it. This becoming is you act out of it, understand? Means you become that thing. Take for example, your lust, understand not? From here, your strong desire, that lust, make you lustful. Then it conditions you to grasp at that thought, then you want to like, maybe, take advantage of the situation to rape or to abuse. So what happens is, when you do that, from this grasping, you manifest into becoming. You become that lustful person, understand not? And when you become that lustful person, you commit that karmic negativity, what happens? Means you take birth. That birth is your karmic negativity. And once you take this birth, which is karmic, it will arise a whole mess of suffering. You understand? This is what the real paticca-samuppada is. That's why when I was developing the mindfulness and the understanding in 1989, I saw all this. That's why I dare to tell you all that the teaching is not what the traditional teaching is explaining to you. So now, do you understand? Can follow or not? Oh, I haven't finished explaining the qi, no, no. Okay, what time do we have? Oh, I still have time, huh? Okay, so now I will continue. See, once you understand this, then I can explain to you what happened and how did Xu Yin develop the enlightenment. When he was contemplating or developing the understanding using the Kun An, who is mindful of the Buddha's name, or Sei Zai Nian Fo, he was stuck on the sun. He couldn't develop the awakening. It's just like Shen Xiu, understand not? He doesn't know that there is a true mind. So he cling on to the mundane mind and use the thought to keep on doing the meditation, reciting and all those things. But what happened is, according to the sutta, when he was in deep meditation for 6 hours and all those things, suddenly the attendant came, and what did the attendant do? Pour boiling hot tea accidentally on his hand, understand not? During that moment, what did he do? If people pour hot water on you, what you do? You get a shock, isn't it? Shock means what? No more thinking, isn't it? The whole mind like blank, understand not? That is how he awakened. You remember Ananda? After the Buddha passed away, they want to have the first council. They are waiting for him to be the last one, the 500 Arahant. He is still a Sotapan at that time. He tried so hard, day and night, until almost dawn already. He give up. Understand? He said, no way already, cannot. And when he gave up, what did he do? He wanted to rest, lie down. Before his head reached the pillow, he became an arahant. Because no more thought, understand not? No more craving to become arahant, understand not? No more desire to become whatever. This becoming, no more, understand not? That's how Xu Yin. Then you read the poem, very beautiful. He said, a cup fell to the ground. Then with a sound, clearly heard, means with clarity, in pure awareness. As space was pulverized, you know what is pulverized or not? Huh? Completely gone, understand or not? Huh? Like, chui ga leo, pulverized. Means space also can be pulverized, though. Like there is no psychological thought process. No. Like the whole of the mundane mind thinking psychological process pulverized, no, gone. Then what happened? The mad mind came to a stop. What is that mad mind? Mundane mind, understand? That mad mind is the monkey mind. That has the delusion. Suddenly this fellow come to a complete stop. Cessation. Understand? That's why during that cessation, before it happened, before it become like the pure awareness ceased, he heard the cracking sound of the cup. Understand? And that is the one that trigger off the awakening. That's why the direct seeing, seeing things as they are, the what they call insight in the phenomena. This is what will happen. Anything can trigger off. Sometimes during the Buddha's time, he also explained there is a group of monks that went somewhere to meditate. Then they want to come back and ask the Buddha. When they reached the monastery before they go in, there was heavy rain. But because they were already trained in sati, mindfulness, all things, they already aware. Then during the heavy downpour, what happened? When it hit the ground, the heavy rain burst, understand? There and then the direct seeing, the monk, a lot of them become arahant. It's not when you meditate, cross your leg and all the thing. It's when you are completely relaxed and aware, then things can happen. It can trigger off any time. And you read all the biography of Ajahn Chah, it's the same. He was doing walking meditation. Can you use the mic? No, I can't hear you. Yes? Sorry about that. Yeah, Emily. Yeah.
I think Venerable Ananda's too the same, isn't it? He couldn't get during Buddha's when Buddha was around. He didn't get any enlightenment.
He was not able to go beyond Sotapanna.
That's right.
That's why I say when they waited for him to become arahant, so that he can feel the 500 arahant first council, Buddhist council.
Yeah, that's right.
He couldn't. He did until towards the end, he gave up. When he gave up, no more craving, the mind blank, then he lie down. Before the head touched the pillow, he became an arahant.
Yeah.
So all these are triggered from the silent mind.
Correct.
That is without thought. So now you understand. Don't go because she gonna burn by the boiling water. Next time you go retreat, you tell the attendant, hey, bring the boiling one. you go and try. I wish you luck. If you don't have the parami like she is ready for all these things, don't try, understand not? You realize the rain very heavy or not? All this understanding is not easy to come by. So here, the poem that Xu Yun actually recite after he gone through that awakening, that's why he know he has awakened. Not all those things that happened before him, when he see bright light, all those things. These are defilement of insight. Deviant samadhi, not the real wisdom. That's why meditation, enlightenment, is not what people think. Oh, very strong, very heavy. They're rejoicing out there. So this understanding, I hope, can help you all. Okay. Yun Chan, yes.
You were talking about Ajahn Chah, how did he enlighten?
Oh, I didn't finish. He was doing walking meditation. He was not meditating, no. And you know what happened? Suddenly, he decided to lie down and rest. After the walking meditation, he was very mindful, aware. Then you know what happened? Suddenly, he heard a neighboring village, very loud drum, no, celebration. No. At the moment he heard that, the silent mind went in, no. Went in through the gateway. No. Then all of a sudden, when he came out, he understood everything. No. You think Ajahn Chah meditate? He didn't. It's like Eckhart Tolle. Same. He was in depression. Then suddenly, one day he was contemplating and reflecting. He said, I cannot accept what happened, is it? Because he realized the priest lied, is it? Almost everybody lied, including himself. He also lied. And you know what happened? At the moment he said, including himself, he also lied. He realized there are two personalities inside him and as well. One cannot accept the other one. Then all of a sudden, that one trigger of enlightenment. He immediately, like, completely space pulverized where he has cultivated before. Then that thing manifests and he went in deep, deep. Then when he came out, you go and read the book, Power of Now. You know what he said? The whole world like different. He has been staying in his room for so many umpteen years now. And yet the moment he come out, Like everything is so pristine, no? Like he haven't seen all these things before, no? Then everything is silent still. Then that time he got no Dhamma, nothing. He doesn't know that that is enlightenment now. So what happened was he gave up his PhD course and all those things. Then after that transformation, the awakening, he sat in the park for 2 years, no? Until people see him so serene, so calm, they talk to him, no? Then only they come to realize that he is very wise, no? You ask him anything about any religion, he can talk to you, he can explain to you. Yeah, he understands. That's why the moment you awaken, like the fifth patriarch say, you can spontaneously answer whatever question. So there are many examples. So with all this understanding, you will not become gullible, believing that you must like diligently meditate or do all those so-called verbalization or chanting or whatever. Not to say they are of no use. You must understand how they bring about the spiritual faculty for you to develop the direct seeing, awakening and transformation. And then chanting useful. Then all the meditation technique or whatever useful. But the real trigger is the silent mind. Understand not? So knowing this, why you waste time on all the thought-based meditation and the method and technique and do all those things? It doesn't mean that you do that, you cannot. Like the Buddha, he also followed the Alara Udaka, he also developed all the jhana, but he know that it's not what he want. That's why finally, because of he passed underneath the Bodhi tree, after the milk rise, then the causes and conditions fall into place, then he connect and he awakened. And this is how enlightenment can be realized. Only by the silent mind, not by the mundane mind, by the true mind. That's why you must realize your nature. You don't realize that, you cannot. And all these people are very sincere, full of faith, and they persevere. Then when the time comes, they will receive a trigger, like Xuyin. Then the mind blank. It's only when it blank, then the silent mind, because the parami is already there, then he will go in and awaken. And most of these are cultivated from the past. Like this life, initially I developed the understanding, the sainthood way I completed before I met my last guide. But when my last guide showed me the gateway, I don't need a teacher after that. Immediately I went in and I know what this thing is. I did it before. That's why all these are based on the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why there is this spiritual nature, there is this karmic nature. Both are nature that you inherit from your aeons and aeons of birth and death and cultivation. So hopefully with this understanding, it will give you the new understanding that you will not cling on to the traditional gullible way. You work so hard for what? Torture yourself for what? Like I say, you come to retreat not to torture yourself. If you torture yourself, you're wasting your time. You might as well stay at home, have a cup of coffee. Understand not? Then relax on the bed, silent. You progress better, understand? But a lot of this, like the Buddha say, there must be causes and conditions behind. So you need to actually go through the training. But when you understand, you become very different. You progress very fast, differently. Then you can share with people. But the problem is, this is not properly accepted, not the conventional type. You haven't heard of another. So most of you, gullible. Who is Brother Theo? No rope, nothing, no title, nothing. Lay person, no. Monk also cannot do it, you know. You think this person got a chance? You think like that? Too bad lah. But yeah, yeah. They can't hear you. We are all the rain.
During Buddha's time, there are lots of lay people who achieve enlightenment as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most famous one is what?
The Sujat.
No. The lay person that become arahant. Actually, he was an anagami
person. It was a lady, wasn't it?
No. There is a man.
Woman. I know the lady.
Wong, you know or not? There is a monk. Lay person. Monk. Not monk. A lay person.
I think I know.
I also forgot his name already. Huh? No.
Basaji?
No. Something like... Ayo, I forgot the name. Huh? Who? No, not Vimalakirti. No. There is another one. You remember, this guy, he at first was following a Brahmin.
Yeah.
So, he become the Brahmin's disciple. And the Brahmin received a lot of donation and support from him because he respect him. Yeah. Then later on, he met the Buddha. Then when he met the Buddha, he listened to the Buddha and he became an anagami, Understand? Then what happened was, he didn't come to that Brahmin's temple for a very long time. Then after a long period, he wanted to help the Brahmin. He come back. So this Brahmin very happy. You see, so and so, he has come back. Means he left the Buddha, is it? Then he was so happy, He talked to the disciple, oh, you come and listen. We ask this lay person why he come back. He said, can you believe what the Buddha say or not? He said, because the Buddha mentioned about the cultivation, the true mind, the silent mind, the pure mind, Then he asked that so-called lay person, he said, can you believe such thing? It's like very weird one. Because that type of teaching is beyond thought, beyond mind. But like there is no mind. So he asked, do you believe? And the lay disciple replied, no, I don't believe. Wow, he was very happy, the Brahmin. See? This previous disciple also don't believe. Yeah. Then you know what happened? That lay person, he tell the Brahmin, no, because I have realized it, I don't have to believe, is it? Because he already had anagami. That's why I say, he said, I don't have to believe. Yeah? There is no such thing. You die already. No, is it? That true mind, that true nature is real. Yeah, but it doesn't belong to you. Understand or not? It's not what you think. That Brahmin got very, very upset. Is it? Ayo, you cheated on me. He said, you actually deceived me. Then they separate. I forgot the name. You go and check. Achita. What is the name? Yeah, must be Chitta, yeah. I think so, Chitta. Chitta, yes, Chitta, that lay person. You see, he don't have to believe. Why? He had realized. If I have not realized, I may have to make a choice, believe or not to believe. But I have realized. Why should I believe? Yeah, it's no more the thought believing something. It's a realization. That's why it's all inside the teaching. And you can see them being shared by the Buddha all over the teaching. But the one cultivator that have the understanding to understand the Buddha, very few. That's why over the 2,600 years, period. What happened? If the teaching is still authentic and according to what the Buddha has taught, then what will happen? Huh? Like the scientists, when you break through, come out with a lot of good understanding and theory, you progress very fast, isn't it? Let's say the last 30, 40 years. But what is happening is, even the tradition, Theravada tradition, I think there is a monk in Myanmar. I think they wrote this book. Nowadays, you can find a Sotapanna, you're very lucky already. Like very rare. So what is happening? During the Buddha's time, you read the sutta, suddenly the fire sermon, don't know 1,000 or 10,000 of the disciples all become arahant. Understand? Just the fire sermon here. Then according to Reverend Suvano, in the heaven, a lot more, millions, become enlightened. And lay people also, suddenly the Buddha say, he has developed the awakening. He is, even the lady, the queen, burned to death on. He's already an anagami and all those things. And a lot of them are through hearing during that time. So this type of understanding is like slowly, slowly over the long period, no longer authentic, and the teaching has become like more scholarly type and thought-based, knowledge-based type. And because of that, you realize they cannot find more and more enlightened beings. If the teaching is still what it is, potent, there will be a lot of enlightened beings, understand? Then there will be no such thing as Dharma ending Asia. You heard of it, isn't it? Even in the sutta is mentioned, the Buddha. He said first 500 years after he became Sammasambuddha, the Dharma is very pure. Very pure. Still very good. A lot of enlightened beings. But the second 500 years are a lot of problems. That's why you have all the attachment and clinging to what? Method, technique, and teacher. No longer what the Buddha say, because the disciple asked him, with your passing away, who shall we follow as the next teacher? He said, only the Dhamma and Vinaya. Understand? No? These two will be your teacher. That's why he don't want to name somebody. That's why you see how the Dhamma ending age deteriorate until less and less understanding. Then the second 500 year not so bad. The third 500 worse. Then the fourth 500, now the fifth 500. You see what is happening. The deviation. Even during the time of the Buddha, he taught Anapanasati. Yeah. You all know that he started with Anapanasati. Yeah. Then in the four foundation of mindfulness, the first category of Kayanupassana also, Anapanasati. Yeah. But then it has become, certain tradition has say, you do Anapanasati is Samatha. You heard of it, isn't it? You must do that type, which is Dhyā method. That one you do is Vipassana. But that so-called method, the Buddha never do, understand? The Buddha never do, become Vipassana. The Buddha do one, become Samatha. Then what is Samatha? What is Vipassana? That's why the new teaching, somebody come out, Samatha Vipassana. And you have all this division happening. When people don't have the penetrative understanding, they cannot teach you, they cannot actually bring you back to what is sati and all these things. That's why it's not easy. Like the Buddha say, investigate yourself. You don't have to believe what I say. Understand? Find out for yourself. Because the truth will stand up to investigation. Okay? We better continue. Yeah.
1.3, meaning of we accord with condition or flow with the Dhamma. The word accord means not to resist, hence there is harmony and no conflict. Conflict means disharmony. argument, etc. So to flow with the Dhamma means the same, i.e. don't resist or argue with, via accepting things as they are, or via seeing things as they are, without delusion, and let things be. It is like martial art. If we were to resist or defend via rigid kung fu, then both will get hurt. But if you can use Tai Chi to flow with it, then Tai Chi will send the force back to the aggressor, who will be hurt by their own force. 1.4. The phenomenal world is an illusionary world of consciousness. Definition of phenomenon. Anything that is perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. Then how do you know the world? Via our consciousness and mental perception, isn't it? And since consciousness and mental perception are just mental image in our mind that arise and pass away continuously, hence the reason why it is said the phenomenal world is actually an illusionary world of consciousness, empty. The Mahayana also got a very famous saying, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. This is the most profound quote quoted by the Surangama Sutra, and the enlightened one will understand it. Now you understand why the Mahayana always said that the phenomenal world is the world of consciousness. This is also the reason why the Surangama Sutra said, consciousness created the world and its continents. The stars and the universe and the knower becomes the living being. Through thought and form delusion, the knower deludedly cling on to the five aggregates of form and mind or living being, thinking that it is real and it is what they are. Hence, the deluded living being clinging onto the false becomes the traveler in space and time, wandering through samsara and undergoing birth and death for eternity.
So this one now easy to understand, huh? The phenomenal world of consciousness. So the famous stanza in the Surangama Sutta, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. How many of you can really understand? Very good. A few. Why? How do you perceive something? No more place to write. Can somebody tall enough write here? Manya, you're writing nice or not? Can Chan can write. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Perception of form. Oh, good. His writing is nice. Perception of form is consciousness. Very nice, huh? Whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Non-perception is wisdom. Very good. He got the high and the nice writing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You see, how do you perceive external form? Correct, memory. But that one is called mundane seeing, understand? If you are not enlightened, you will see things through the mundane convention, understand? That's why perception of form, the form you see, is actually your mundane mind, the consciousness, understand? Whereas its non-perception is wisdom. How can you see without perceiving? That is the direct seeing, understand or not? When you see things as they are, without the words, without the concept, that is the direct seeing. And when you see things as they are, you understand truth, the reality. That is the way things are, understand or not? That's why that is wisdom. Yeah. There is a famous Zen story. Ba Feng Chui Pu Dong. Heard of it before or not? The eight winds cannot disturb him anymore. So the disciple so happy, excited, no, he thought he enlightened. No. He wrote a note to the master, no, I have achieved the enlightenment. The 8 winds cannot disturb me anymore. Pa Feng Chui Pu Tong. He sent the message across the island to the master. The master read the note. He write 2 words. Fang Pi. He said, bullshit. Send the message back. You know what happened? This guy thought he enlightened. Pa Feng Chui Pu Tong become so angry. He said, how can my teachers so disrespectful and say this is bullshit without even finding out and testing and all those things? Then you know what happened? He rushed over immediately, you know, and confront the master. The master looked at him, you know. I thought you Pa Feng Chui Pu Tong. 8 winds also cannot blow you. But one fart, you come over. Wow, he was so embarrassed, you know. Then he said, okay, I give you a second chance to prove yourself. Huh? Not to say I don't really let you prove yourself. He pointed at the table. You know, what is that? Then the disciple, look. Table lah! He take the big Zen stick, whack him, pow! Enlightened already, still got table. Perception of form is your conscious mundane mind, understand or not? So the right answer should be what? Nothing. Understand? Kan san pu si san. Understand? Kan san hai si san, and you say you're enlightened. I see. That's why the direct seeing is different. That's why this statement says, the moment I read the Sugama Sutta, this is the main essence. I'm not interested in the 50 dian samadhi or those things. But when I read this one, my heart full of joy. You know, immediately I understand. I got somebody understand the same as what I understand. That was 1989. You know. That's why the Kayamita asked me to teach Surangama Sutta. I English educator, no, don't know Mandarin, no. And yet I teach. The Han Sutta also say. You know. It's very strange. We are past life. Although I English educated, but when it comes to Dhamma, Mandarin no problem, understand? Not? Like I can understand, or like Hui Ning, no need education, understand? Not? Hui Ning is an illiterate, but he always tell those people who want to learn from him. He say, "You read to me the Sutta, then I can explain to you." People confused. No? There was a nun actually asked him that. Yeah, he said, you even the language also you don't understand. 文字你都不懂, and you want to teach me the Dhamma. But then later on, he really read to him, and he explained it in such profound understanding until the nun also actually got a shock. That's why Dhamma is not what you think. So now you understand or not? Perception of form is consciousness, whereas not perception, non-perception is wisdom. So if you want to develop wisdom, you have to develop the silent mind to see things as they are, to awaken. Not to be caught in the mundane creation. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness is an illusion. Illusionary. Okay? Yeah. Manyan, continue.
Notes. 1. True mind does not stir.
Sorry.
Okay. 1. True mind does not stir. True suchness or ru ru putong. Only the mundane mind stirs via delusion. Mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating thinking mind.
So you know what is the discriminating thinking mind? No? In Mandarin, they call it fen bie xing. Understand? The mind that discriminate, they call it fen bie xing. And that is your mundane mind. Understand? Your mundane mind create a lot of discrimination. There's a duality, division, everything comes from the thought. Thought divide. Divide through what? Thought divide through words, concept, ideology, you understand or not? They come up with the word, the ideology, like democracy, communism, or what. Then they come up with the word race, they divide, religion, they divide, you understand or not? So this is how thought has the power to deceive, delude, and cause conflict, misunderstanding, and even war. Well, through words, through concept, through ideology, it creates the division. That's why a mundane mind, full of duality, when you don't have the direct seeing, the wisdom to awaken to all this, then you cannot overcome form delusion, mind delusion. That everything you come to perceive through your senses, the phenomenal world of consciousness and form has power over you, can cause you delusion. Now you understand. That's why you will never develop the understanding of how profound the Dhamma is, the Buddha's teaching is, until you penetrate and awaken. So now, hopefully, with all this sharing, you can develop better understanding, okay?
Two, definition of hallucinatory, thinking that it is real, but it's actually not real.
So this one, easy to understand, isn't it? The English word, not bad, no? What is a magician? The other English word. Illusionist. The magician is an illusionist that creates illusion for you to see. You know? You understand? Huh? So what did the Buddha mention about consciousness? The five aggregate. Consciousness is like a? Like a what? A great magician, understand? Huh? It creates illusion for you to see. So the illusionary world of consciousness, the illusionary phenomenal world of consciousness and form, that is the illusionary world, not real, not what you think, understand? Every now and then also grouse cling, fight, and go to war for it, over what? Ideology. Like now, a lot of war. Oh, yeah, tariff war. Yeah, terrible. But he is the way he is, don't worry. Yeah? Accept him for what he is. There be at peace, understand? Otherwise, that mundane commentary up there, that one, verbalize, then chatter, then comment. Because like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind, understand? Who created these causes and conditions? Living beings, understand? If the American don't elect him for a second term, you think of this or not? If there is no condition from the past, living being, you think there is a DJ Trump or not? If you're all this, like Hitler and all those things, they are meant to be. Because the human consciousness conditioned all this to arise. And now for a better understanding, you all should understand why Brother Theo come. So these are also meant to be, affinity with a lot of you all. Otherwise, you think for no reason, thing appear. No, the Buddha already said, whatever arise, there are, repeat it loudly. But before that, whatever arise, there are, get this, go in deep. Then you understand what is a phenomenal world, what is a conditioned world, existential world. But this one is all dependent originating world, condition arising world. That's why it's called a conditioned world. Without causes and conditions, nothing arises, nothing manifests. So all this understanding is very powerful, very penetrative. That's why the Buddha Dharma is not what you think. So hopefully with this, you can develop better understanding. Then just on number one, I haven't finished explaining. true mind does not stir. Can you understand that? You can understand, it's very good. Yeah, what is this for? This is your true mind, your pure awareness nature. Right? What is this for? Does it stir like the mundane mind? Does it perceive something, react, stir, and create all those? Yeah, it's the unconditioned. It's just a nature, understand? Pure awareness, this word nature. What is the nature? It's not a being, understand? That's why this one is not a being. It cannot come out and live life, understand? It's not you or belong to you, understand? This one is just a nature, understand? Like your karmic nature. You cannot pinpoint it, understand? What is karmic nature? Summation of all your segmented life, every moment, every instant, as you go through life. The summation of all this become your karmic consciousness. That's why each and every one of us are unique. Then our spiritual nature is the same. Summation of all your perfection, your cultivation, become your spiritual nature. And that one is unique to all the cultivator. But what happened is, after they complete that, perfect that, then they realize the pure awareness nature and cease and realize the oneness nature or the true nature or the original nature. That one also don't belong to anybody. That's why the Buddha, he was asked during his time, can Nibbana be like any city, be overcrowded? Like too many people become enlightened. It means there is a limit to how many can become enlightened. He said, Nibbana is not what you think. He said, Nibbana is beyond word, beyond thought. There is no such thing as there is a limit to the realization. It's actually not what you think. So this unconditioned and this pure awareness nature, unless you meditate and realize it, you can never understand. So that's why those who understand, they tell you, this true mind does not stir. That's why Po Yen Sang Lao, very good. That time that Miss Lee asked me to go and teach, after I teach for almost 1 year, he come and ask me, Mr. Pratio, Pratio, my teacher, Po Yen Sang Lao, he write this. He cannot understand. Then I explained to her, that's why I put it inside here. So true mind does not stir means what? True suchness, ru ru putong. Because it's the unconditioned, it's always like that. But it's shiny, bright, awareness. Just aware, nothing else. No word, no concept, no ideal, nothing. It's not a conditioned state. So understanding this is very important. Zhu zhu bu dong. Only the mundane mind stir. We are delusion, understand? So after that, I think he continued. Mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating mind. Or not here. There is another place. Qi xing dong nian. You heard of it, huh? Avijja paccaya sankhara, understand? When there is avijja, what happens? You create thinking, isn't it? Your mundane mind arises, isn't it? That's why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. Qi xing dong nian means create sankhara activity, mental activity. So that understanding is very important. Qi xing dong nian. Then the other opposite is what? Wu nian si? I think Amy better go and write. So this Mahayana saying, they are very beautiful, very meaningful. Yeah. When the mundane mind arises due to ignorance, delusion, it creates thinking, mental activity. That's why qi xing dong nian. Then, wu nian, when you are without thought, means what? That is your true mind, understand? Your pure awareness nature. That's why this one is without thought. Without thought means no concept, no idea, no duality, nothing, no words. So now you understand. Miss Lee that time cannot understand. He said the master left behind. He said, Qi xing dong nian. Ah, Qi wu ming, yes. You add in. Qi wu ming, yeah. Qi xing dong nian, Qi wu ming, yeah. Add in. That one is very good. There, here, right here. Very good. Means there is avijja, that's why you stir your mind. That's why avijja, paccaya sankhara. When you arise the mundane mind, means you create mental thinking and activity. And that is what ignorance is all about, avijja. So it's the same as the Theravada teaching. Okay, you read on now. Tell me.
Page 34. 3. Jaya Krishnamurti said, the observer is the observed. This is seeing things as they are, via the direct seeing without words. In a similar way, the Buddha also taught the same. In the seeing, it is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. Hence, no delusion. Otherwise, the moment you associate and cling onto what you see or what you observe, delusion or sakkaya ditti has already arisen.
So this one, by now, you should understand. Jaya Krishnamurti also very wise. He said, the observer and what is observed is actually the same thing. That's why he always said, the observer is the observed. When you can understand that means what? You got no more delusion. It's just like thought is respond to memory. There is no thinker behind the thought. There is no one to observe something. Understand? That's why the Buddha say, in that seeing, is only that consciousness. Understand? So when you understand that, then you realize that thing is just a consciousness, an image. Understand? Without its content yet. So Krishnamurti realized the human being that observe is not separate from what it observes. You understand? Because that observer is born of what? Who observe? Your thought through perception observe, isn't it? And what do you observe? Another thought, external form, understand? Which you create, like you observe the Buddha image. You think you observe. Your thought observe, understand? Through perception. Then it create another perception, understand? It's also thought, understand? That's why the observer is the observer. In the seeing, it's only the consciousness, no one to see. If you can understand that, you penetrate. You can awaken. So this understanding is very profound. We are seeing things as they are. That's why the Buddha also understands. We are the direct seeing. In the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. Both are pointing towards the same teaching, the same truth. The observer is the observed. And that is what we call There are two types of seeing. One is subjective seeing. With a subject, you see. Understand? The other one is not subjective. It's called objective seeing. Means the direct seeing. Understand? No personality behind. No subject behind. So that is the understanding. So when you can see things as they are, means the pure observation through your silent mind, the awareness nature.
Just something to share. I recall an example that helped me understand this. Recently, on the way to the Thursday class, driving through Subang Roads, there was one junction when I turned out. Then there was a motorbike passing by, and then the motorbike slowed down, and as he passed by, glared at me, stared at me, and then drove off very angrily. So I continued on to class. So it's a very simple example, but it's, I find it very relevant. The example keep coming up throughout the last three pages that we went through, so it prompted me to share. So first is when we were talking about the 12 links. So the first is the mundane mind seeing that whole thing unfold. Then it went back to memory in this kind of situation,
An
AI, you know, standard answer, find out who's wrong.
mundane mind wants to determine. Means I used to tell someone, analyze another, do the analysis, who is right, who is wrong. Justify also. It's not about right and wrong. Thing is just the way it is. He like that, he will do things like that and so. Then you, being the independent party, how you understand it will make a big difference to your life. That's why she learned. And this is a real life example. That's why it's very good. You continue. See.
And then the relevance popped up again when we were talking about the duality, right and wrong, good and bad. In this situation, actually, from the perspective, it can be anyone, right or wrong. Actually, if I don't look at the mundane mind seeing, just like maybe objective seeing, I'm not sure if I understand what's pure awareness seeing yet, but objectively, this incident happening is no different from a leaf or a flower falling down from a tree. It is a lot of causes and conditions. From his perspective, he is right. From my perspective, I am right. So you want to argue, there's always room to argue.
Yeah, because that is the way of the mundane mind, understand? Because right and wrong is not a universal truth, you know, it's a conventional truth. What is conventional truth? Right according to who, understand? You understand? Right according to her is different from right according to the motorbike fellow. So I always say, thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong. Now you understand that. Because that is a conventional truth. Right according to who? That's why sometimes, if there is a misunderstanding or what people want to argue, I will tell them, no problem, you are right. Did I lie? I didn't lie, isn't it? We are right according to him or her, understand or not? We are right according to you. Yeah, you are right, so no need to argue, understand or not? So when you understand, you become different. Because no point, this is analysis, mundane mind. Form a mind and another form a mind. What are you doing? Understand? Getting angry, jealous, or what? Over nothing, understand? Empty. We are finally, like we understand, the reality is within the moment. And the moment is so transient. So where got reality? Whether you exist or you don't exist, no different. The condition will continue to evolve, understand? Continue to transform and manifest, following the nature's law. That's why, if you really see it, there is empty, not what you think. But there is such thing as life, existence, when you have the Dhamma understanding. Then true emptiness, when you penetrate, is wonderful. That part is real, even though it's within the conditioned world. You can live that life, which since 1989 until now, my nature living that life. That's why no problem at all, so beautiful. Yeah, continue.
So back to the example. For me, I was in the car. There was nothing to handle with him. No need to settle. So don't need to use the mundane mind to think of the win-win scenario to come up. But so apart from the application, there was also the part we talked about dwelling. So what I observed, what I did there is because I go and dwell, the sankhara, go to memory, and say, what's the standard reaction?
That is how you dwell. You hold on to that thing. You attack unfinished business, understand? You want to resolve it, understand? And most people resolve it through what? Through your thought process, understand? And the thought always give you all the reasoning, understand? That guy wrong, ma. Definitely wrong, ma. Then you end up what? consoling yourself. Whether he right or wrong, he's the way he is, finished. Understand or not? So he learned through this understanding. Then he starts to now, all the Dhamma starts to flow in. That's why she will learn that way, because her past is that way. She developed the understanding. That. But the moment she penetrates the true awareness, the pure awareness nature, she will progress very far and she will transform very far. That's why she only needs to stabilize that. Then all this will happen. That insight will move.
Then what at the end how I manage to let it go is think also like that. Don't
very good. So now you can quote me. Think also like that. Because ultimately 来也空去也空啊, 那么施主何必苦苦为空流泪呢?
Yeah.
You come empty, you go empty. Then in between, why do you grieve over something that is not a reality? Empty. Yeah. Understand?
It's just the ego damage.
Very good, sadhu. Very good.
Then the last part is the Krishnamurti quote that we just spoke about. It's the moment you associate and cling onto what you see that really drag me in.
The egoic mind come out.
When we look at the leaf falling from the tree, we don't associate. We don't comment, right? When we look at
This
leaf,
is something natural, isn't it?
But with this one, I see, but I go and comment until I reach Subang already, climb on the start, still there. But didn't affect that much. I realized
because of your understanding. That's why it's very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When a few years back, when a group of Kayamita, we all went to Thailand, I remember we went and visit Wat Pat Nanachat, the Western disciple of Achan Cha. And there we met Sri Panyo. We were very lucky. He was there. He took us around. You know. Then later on, Achan Sumedho also there. So we actually joined them because the Ananda Krishna's son. What's the name? I just mentioned his name. Sri Panyo. Sorry. He was taking us around. Then he know, we all different. Because somebody was talking. Then he said, why not you join us? He said, we go to the meditation hall there. Tonight, Achan Sumedho will be there. Then somebody, my Kayamita, he said, Sri Achana, is it? Can we do lying down meditation? You know how he answered, no? You will be amazed. No? He said, actually, what you ask is very good. Because what my concern is, people may not understand. So you go there, you do that, it may create unnecessary misunderstanding, understand, and very weird, understand, not popularly accepted or a convention. But what he said later on is very good. He said, do you know, able to do lying down meditation without going to sleep, that is real skill, he used the word, real kung fu, means, you can maintain awareness without sleeping. That is the true cultivator of the way. That's why the Buddha said lying down is also a posture for you to meditate, the four posture. Then later on, we went there. Of course, we didn't do lying down. Then Achan Cha, Achan Cha no more. Achan Sumedho, he came. Then there was some question, understand? Then he asked something I forgot already. Then I decided to put up my hand. Then I was sharing how when we were there, we were asked to sweep the leaf, isn't it? Sweep the leaf. So we all know that you have the understanding, you sweep mindfully, understand? Means you don't sweep with your thought having aversion, understand? I come here to meditate, I come here to receive all the Dhamma, end up asking me to sweep the leaf. So you are a cultivator, you know. Everything you do in life is cultivation. The moment you are aware, you are heedful, you are cultivating. Then after that, I told Ajahn Sumedho, I said, I was sweeping, of course, mindfully, with joy, with happiness. Then I say one thing I realized, after I sweep, the leaf will fall again. No? And sooner or later, all the leaf there. No? Then I say, I came out with the understanding, the reality is, the leaf will fall. Then I got no more problem. Yeah, the leaf will fall. There is the reality. So whether you sweep or what, you reason or what, no use. Understand? But the leaf will fall. It will follow nature's condition. Like my teacher, Ajahn Yantra. He said, nature is our greatest teacher, he said. Nature has great loving kindness, a lot of patience. Nature give and give, never take, he said. The air we breathe from nature, isn't it? True or not? The food that feed you, all from nature, understand? The water you drink come from nature. That's why he said you observe nature, you learn. Then he said the tree endure the sunlight, provide the shade for human beings, understand? That's why nature very compassionate. But what did human being do to the tree? Huh? You either chop it down and sell the timber, or you urinate it out there and create a mess out of it. That's why he said human beings are very selfish. So he said, nature, when there is a lot of this, what they call thunder or whatever, we live in a house, that's why we feel safe, understand? But the tree outside, the rock, everything, he said, luckily they don't have consciousness, he said. They always endure, understand? Whatever the condition, they endure. Then when they endure the harsh condition, especially the tree, in autumn, they will drop their leaf. Yeah? Then they will bud again during spring. Understand? That's why they echo and flow with condition. Not like human being. Small, small thing also complain. Very selfish. Understand? Why rain? Rain also complain. No rain also complain, understand not? That's why you contemplate into all this nature's manifestation, then you realize the human being, because of the mundane mind, the consciousness and the delusion, have a lot of selfishness, a lot of evil roots. Things don't go your way, unhappy, emotional, and so on. Then when you cannot understand, you develop fear, worry, anxiety. So this is what is haunting the living being. Understand? Huh? Although you think you have a mind, you are a conscious being. Why? You think you're very great. Huh? You can see, you can hear, you can smell, you can taste, you can tactile feel and think. But without wisdom, you are useless. Understand? Huh? You are deluded, heedless. That's why you suffer the first noble truth or dukkha, dukkha satcha. That one, contemplate, reflect. Without wisdom, you will fall into suffering. So the urgency is, don't wait. Like the Buddha said, apamadena sampadita. Strike on with what? Heedfulness. You must understand that stanza, no? You don't go and put effort and strive on, no? Before you have heedfulness, no? The meaning is develop heedfulness first, then strive on with heedfulness, no? Otherwise, like J. Krishnamurti say, you know, wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. Who create effort? The thought. There's a Xu Yin, they all cannot penetrate Ananda also try very hard, cannot penetrate. Because there is effort. One to realize, one to become. And you go to what Pat Pong, which is Ajahn Chah's monastery in the early day, there is a sign, you know. What does it write? I think MB will know, we went there, we saw. Don't try to be an arahant. You want to become an arahant, you can never become an arahant. That is what Ajahn Chah is telling you. But that craving, that wanting prevents you. So effort is not what you think. The Buddha teach the five spiritual faculties. The second one is virya. You know what is virya now? A lot of Theravada book translate as effort now. Eh? You ask what? But under the Noble Eightfold Path, the four right effort is what? Sama vayama. It's not virya. Virya is not an effort. It's a spiritual zeal, tenacity, after knowing who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is, and how wonderful a teaching he has taught us. That's why you have that virya, that spiritual tenacity, to go all out to cultivate this one. That's why he never says spiritual faculty effort. The moment you use effort, Krishnamurti say wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. So don't be gullible. When he says strike on with heedfulness, means must develop heedfulness first. Because the Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, very clear. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, you go and strive for what? Understand or not? You go and cultivate for what? That's why he say, the ever mindful and constantly meditative. Understand? Constantly meditative means you strive on with heedfulness. When you are ever mindful, then you use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why the steadfast one, that is what heedfulness, apamada, is all about. So understanding is very important. Otherwise you interpret, the Buddha say what, strive on what. There is effort already lah. You don't understand. Sound logical, isn't it? But whatever that is logical within the convention is never or seldom the truth. So understand all this. When you have the awakening, you see it very clearly. And you don't argue with people, that's not, no need, no right, no wrong.